experience of the Overton building. As you can see, it's pulled back. It has an urban feel to it with canopies overhead protecting the entry areas and the main building entry. The street edge is softened by the fences and the planters. And as you can see, the sill of the windows for those walk-up units is at or above eye level, depending on how tall you are. The next image is the similar view of the Pettigrove building. As you can see, it's also three bays, but the building is narrower, so they are three equal brick bays. And again, you have a base, middle, and top. It is one project with two buildings that have different appearance nuances, and because the developer's goal was to have a project with an identity on both streets that had similar characteristics. This is the one also that has the one live work unit at grade. And that's about, those are the items I wanted to mention there. And then here's the sidewalk view of the Pettigrove building. And next, the courtyard. So this is really a unique aspect of this project. And we feel as though it's one of the most positive things about the scheme. By pulling what could have been one much larger building into two smaller ones, we've created a level of intimacy of the buildings and a great outdoor space for the residents and as a resource to the entire block of what we know has been discussed to be, will be heavier, more dense development as time goes on. So this also has a number of amenities for the residents, bike parking, as well as other items for their use.
The bike parking is there in the courtyard, or?
Yeah, the bike parking, part of the bike parking is inside, but part of the, because there's requirements for 153 bicycles, parking also is in the courtyard itself. It's in those elements that you see that have kind of opaque roof panels. Mm-hmm. So around the perimeter, we have the bike parking undercover in those areas and also along the edges of the buildings.
But about half of it is entirely within the building.
Okay.
So we feel as though, when here's an eye-level view of the courtyard, landscaped, pavers, community gathering places, nice edges with trellises, and as we mentioned, the bike parking, which is softened by plantings and fences. And then lastly...
That looks like a very grown-up space. It's not envisioned to be a play space?
Probably not, because the units are small. They're... Probably the apartments will likely be occupied by individuals or possibly two people.
But it's also, if I could just say one thing about it, the way we designed the building with the courtyard and the amenities that go with it, it's designed to be less of a transient type of apartment building. The average person moves in and out of apartment buildings like that once every 14 months. And what we're trying to do is design something so that they stay much longer, and it's more of a sense of the community and the feel. So that's all the tones and the warmth of it that we're trying to do.
So to wrap up, we feel very strongly, we're big believers in this project, and we feel very strongly that we've designed a project that is entirely responsive to the historic precedents in the neighborhood, built precedents not only in the past, but of the recent past, and that this is going to be a very good neighbor to the buildings, the context that is there, and the context that will be there.
Okay.
Thank you.
Further questions? You have anything to add?
No.
Okay.
Could you address the concern about the side setbacks and the 10 inches between this building and the adjacent one and the meters on the adjacent building that may have to be moved? Was that, what was your thinking in why you decided to put the sides to have no side setback?
The side setbacks, as has been discussed, are usually awkward spaces. They're little slots that kind of gather garbage. The existing apartment building, a very small one, is an old building, and it's allowed to be next to that building. It was probably built as a zero lot line building originally, and some of the things that have been brought up about windows and gas meters and things, we are guessing were things that were changed about that building later, with maybe not an appreciation for the fact that someone was fully allowed to build a zero lot line building next to it in the future. Some of that's conjecture, but the building is, I believe, Carl, it's over 100 years old. Wasn't it built around the turn of the century, the little brick apartment?
It was nodding his head,
yes. Yeah. So who knows the changes, but it probably didn't have gas meters and things like that to it when it was originally constructed. Who knows what may have been done over time.
Have you had discussions with the owner of that building? They'll have to move their meters?
We, the architects, have not had detailed discussions.
Our general contractor has not had a discussion with them yet, but we will, and try to do what we can to not make it as impactful for them economically. PGE has to be involved with regards to the meters, and our electrical supply company that will be doing the electrical work on us for our project might also come into play to see about moving the meters to an inside space that might accommodate the meter readers. So it's in flux, but we're not going to build a concrete wall and thumb our nose at them.
Okay. Other questions for the applicant and his team? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else here to speak in favor of the application and in opposition to the appeal?
I have one person signed up, Jason Larson.
Come on up, please.
Hello, my name is Jason Larson, and I just wanted to come and speak in favor of the building being built. I have an office in the area, and I think when you take a look at this project, as you said, you know, the block is sort of a hodgepodge, or does a general direction of development in the area. This is what is being built with the sixth story beside it. And like you were mentioning about the Conway project, this is somewhat of the direction of where things are going. I think what's unique about this project is the building looks age appropriate for the district. I'm one of the 55 meetings I got to take where I got to learn more about the building. And I think it fits the general character of what's going on in the neighborhood now and what has been going on for a century. It was interesting to hear earlier his talking about the three-story units across the way. If you go back a few more decades, there were gigantic homes in the area. But, you know, where I look at as having an office there and talking to people that work in the district, this is somewhat what the housing need is evolving to, is these smaller units, lots of bike parking, and things that weren't even considered even a few years ago when like the three-story townhomes were built. So I think, you know, there's a lot of excitement for this project and all the projects that are coming in. Generally, they bring new vibrancy, a lot of new restaurants on the retail level, and a lot of accessibility for the huge amount of jobs that are being created all through this area in the Pearl District and the CBD in general. So I just think it was important to note that there are a lot of people that are excited to see this stuff come. And from a size and usability standpoint, I think it actually fits the character of the street and the neighborhood very, very well. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anything further in terms of public testimony? Any further questions for staff? Do we need the staff to come back up?
Yes, please.
Please, come on up.
Is there a rebuttal?
We have a rebuttal.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have the appellant's rebuttal. Sorry. You have not. Okay. Sorry. All right. Then staff, please.
So I wanted to briefly address the loading adjustment. So to not provide loading was not suggested by transportation or PBOT. It was the response to the concern about pedestrian conflicts. There was originally one loading space provided within each building, where the overhead door is currently proposed. And since the truck would be reversing out onto the sidewalk, across the sidewalk into the street, PBET had big concerns with the conflicts associated with that. So given that the project is entirely residential and that the units are small, what they have learned over the past years with residential development is that the loading needs are frequently highest at occupancy of the building, and then those kind of peter off until just when units are changing over. Also, given the size of the units, the loading vehicles are rather small. They're not these large trucks. They're vans and other smaller trucks. So given that fact, PBOT felt that loading could be provided on the street by securing some on-street loading passes from transportation, and that would fill the need for these two buildings rather than punching a hole in the building and having that reverse motion occurring. In addition, it also provides more on-street parking, which has been a huge concern in this neighborhood. It will provide about 7 on-street parking spaces to this neighborhood. So that was another factor in the decision.
And thank you. Retail loading is expected, again, to be smaller trucks for the small amount of retail space there is?
Correct. So there is only one potential retail space, and that's in the on Pettigrove. It's a live-work unit.
Right.
And as a live-work unit, and the size of it, it wouldn't generate much loading. Transportation has also witnessed that the smaller delivery trucks, UPS, FedEx, all of those delivery trucks never use on-site loading spaces. They most frequently double park or use on-street because they're in and out really quick, just the nature of their business. So they also felt that this on-street parking would also provide some loading opportunities for these types of delivery trucks as well.
And then could you please address the procedural question as far as granting the continuance after the tentative denial vote?
Want to jump into that?
Sure. I'll take that one. Yeah, that was unfortunate that the neighbor felt confused by the process and how it moved forward from there. And what I would say is the commission has been struggling with ground floor residential in main streets and corridors and different spaces. And so when staff presented a report that was for full approval, we thought we had it right in working with the applicant and working the design over. We did not, in the eyes of the design commission. The applicant asked for the vote to be called because there was not a report that could be adopted by the commission on that moment and on that day. It was a tentative decision. The hearing was continued. I specifically asked the commission to be very clear with what their concerns were so that we can write a thorough denial response, because our report needed to take a 180-degree turn. In that deliberation and specificity, we took that back to the applicant, and I think they realized we're not that far from approval. Maybe we don't want a denial to be formalized in a final denial, and ask for the record to be held open vis-a-vis extending their hearing date. That is their right. And when we returned before the design commission and explained that situation, you know, the design commission has an ethos of getting to yes. Not to mention state law allows the applicant to extend the timeline. Were they to ask the question again and have not made the changes that we heard the commission needed to be changed, we would have had a denial and we would have been done. But I disagree with the assertion that BDS told the design commission what to do. The design commission is in charge. They are the review body. But I didn't see, and the commission didn't see, why we should deny it if the applicant's willing to make changes.
So if I might paraphrase, it was the design commission made a tentative decision on November 6th, but the record was kept open, and that's when the applicant asked for the to return to it and exercise their rights to extend the 120 days.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions for staff? Now, Commissioner Fish is excused, so we'll see if there's a majority of the council that has an opinion one way or the other on this action, and if not, we might have to continue our own hearing, but we'll see if that's the case. So is there a motion?
I would move that we deny the appeal and uphold the design commission's decision to approve with conditions.
Second.
Okay. Further discussion of the motion? Roll call on the motion then, please.
And this
the
will
tentative
be a tentative
decision. Support, be supported by findings.
Fritz?
Thank you very much, the Northwest District Association. As always, a very thoughtful and well-reasoned presentation as to your concerns, and I think many of them do have merit. I know that you are participating in the comprehensive plan update process and will continue to do so, and so I greatly appreciate your ongoing volunteer effort and your diligence in protecting the character of your neighborhood, even as it develops and changes. So thank you for that. Thanks to the applicants who did want to be responsive, and what I heard was today and in briefings was that the design did improve, and indeed it was said today that you acknowledge that the design has improved over the course of the discussions. So I appreciate that. I am a little concerned about that side setback piece, but for me, the courtyard space ongoing, which is will do the light and air better than a 5-foot setback, potentially eventually set between 2 6-story buildings, which would not be very lighty or airy. And so I'm not entirely comfortable with that, but I'm willing to accept the Design Commission's recommendation. And thanks to the Design Commission for all of their work on these issues and trying to get to yes and sometimes saying no, and that's amazing diligent work. There are volunteers putting in hours and hours and hours of time and a lot of expertise, and I certainly appreciate that. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the issues that were raised today. I do feel that in looking at these proposed buildings, it looks like the Design Commission, the architects and the developer, with the input of neighborhoods, have produced something that I think, to me, looks like it fits in with this neighborhood and is appropriate for this transition zone, which is still somewhat of a zone in state of flux. And I think that these buildings, as I think somebody stated, they look like they've been here for a long time. And I also appreciate the thoughtfulness of the courtyard connecting the two buildings. That's something I've never seen before, frankly, in a design here. So I appreciate the good work that's been put in by all, but I ultimately agree with the decision of the Design Commission and vote aye.
Novick?
I appreciate the hard work of everybody involved, and I especially appreciate the thoughtful and respectful nature of the discussion today. These land use proceedings can be pretty heated, and I really appreciate the fact that although obviously people had different views, everybody was respectful of each other and presented thoughtful arguments, so thank you very much for that. Aye.
Hales.
Yeah, the process sounds like it was long and maybe expensive as well, but I think it resulted in a better design thanks to the advocacy of the neighborhood and the diligence of the Design Commission and the staff, so that we got to a better project. I don't read D7 the same way that the NWDA did in this case, and that is when it says reduce the impact of new development on established neighborhoods by incorporating elements of nearby quality buildings, such as building details, massing, proportions, and materials. I don't read that as a mandate for stepping down scale. I read that as a mandate for looking at the neighborhood and trying to incorporate elements architecturally into the project, and I think the applicant has done that in this case. And I just want to second the comments about the courtyard. I think that's not only an amenity to the project, but actually is a rather generous gesture to the buildings around it, one of which looks like it was designed with a hope that nothing would ever be built next door, as I brought up earlier, and they got lucky, frankly, in this case, that the applicant has proposed a courtyard for at least half of the frontage of that building on that side. So they ought to buy the neighborhood a pie for the welcome party, because otherwise they would have had the applicants entitled, at least in code, to a blank wall along the entire frontage of that building. So again, that's not the issue before us, but I'm still a little mystified why the whoever built that building did it that way, but they got lucky in this case. And I think this building is designed thoughtfully to the context of what's there and what's going to be there as the Conway development and other development takes place in the area. I think it's important to remember that in this case, the underlying zone, yes, it's a design district, but the underlying zone is EX, which is downtown commercial. That's along with CX, the two most aggressive most urban zoning designations that we have. So if we're at 61% of allowable FAR in an EX zone and the building has been sensitively designed, then I think it has met the criteria. Aye. And we need to set a date for findings to come back to council. Got one.
March 25th, would that work?
That would. Commissioner Fish is gone, so 10:45 in the morning?
Sure. Yeah, sure. It's just for findings. So we'll have findings on the council calendar for March 25th, and we are recessed until tomorrow at 2 p.m. Thank you.
Yep, did I throw in that thing?
Thank you. Same to you.